just how blessed we are in our country and what we consider to be persecution is really nothing. I mean, we get upset if it's too hot and the air conditioning goes out and, you know, we have to go to church, or most of us just skip church because it's too hot, you know. And one of the things that just amazes me is that as believers in Jesus Christ, one of the things that we're promised is suffering. Now, that's not very positive. That didn't go with the health and wealth, prosperity teaching of our day, you know. And I started thinking about it. How in the world would it affect my ministry if I said, come to church, follow Jesus? Would you show up if there was someone out front taking notes about who is here, taking your license plate number? Would you show up? Would you show up if it was against the law? You see, one of the things we need to understand that is going to happen to all of us in our life is that we're going to have to learn how to deal with suffering. And there's several kinds of sufferings. First of all, there's suffering that comes by just living in our country and being alive. You get sick. We have good friends in Garland, Texas right now, and one of the tragic things that they're going through is the dad had a stroke and died, and that was several days after the mom found out that she had pancreatic cancer. And these two kids that grew up with our kids in Garland are, you know, facing a pretty difficult situation. That's one kind of suffering. But then there's the suffering that comes simply because you're willing to follow Christ and to do what He wants you to do. And that's what Peter is going to address this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, is how we can face, how we can deal with suffering. So look with me at verse 12. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world." Now get this. "If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. For the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you." You see, a lot of times in our culture, we think if we do right, God's going to bless us by not causing any problems, but that's not what it says. He says, "If you suffer, however, it must not be murder." I find this interesting. "Trouble or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. The time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits us who never obey God's good news? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you." Now here's one of the things I can promise you if you're a believer in Christ Jesus. One of the things I can promise you is that regardless of what kind of suffering you Whether it's the loss of a loved one and you're suffering through that. My mom died a year ago. I'm asking your mom, try that on for fun. But I'll tell you what, I found God in the midst of my mom's funeral. God promises, He promises to help us in situations like that, but He also promises that when you are persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ, He's going to bless you, but maybe not the way you're expecting. But Christianity offers meaning to suffering. One of the things that, you know, a lot of people, it's kind of cool nowadays to say you're an atheist and an agnostic and you know, all that. But they have nothing to promise you, offer you, when it comes to suffering and dying. They see it as an inconvenience and a difficulty. But God's Word teaches us that suffering has purpose. Suffering can be good if we allow God to show us how to experience that. So that's what I want us to look at this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, going through the end of the chapter. Here's the first point. Make a decision this morning that you're going to choose joy when you face suffering. In verse 12, he says, "Dear friends," he's speaking to the believers in Turkey, Asia Minor, that he is speaking to. And he gives them a command. Now get this, this is a command. He says, "Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through." If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you start to be persecuted for your faith, he says, don't be surprised by that. Why are we as Christians so surprised when difficulty comes our way, especially for our faith in Christ? He says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if this is something strange. He says, instead, be very glad. Now, preach that to our world today. Peter is saying, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, do not be surprised when bad things, when persecution happens to you, but rather see it as a good thing and allow God to use you. You have to choose joy. That woman in prison in that video in North Korea, she had a choice. She could either hate her life or choose to make ministry out of it. And what did she choose to do? Now listen. The only difference between you and that lady is she just happened to be born in the wrong country. That could have been you. You didn't choose where you were born or where you were going to grow up. There are people in North Korea who are in terrible situations. But the thing we've got to understand is that we should not be surprised when hard times come our way. As a matter of fact, we ought to, when we see these difficult times, we need to rejoice. And then he goes on, he says, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering. And one of the things I'm discovering as you study the New Testament, over and over again, we are called, if we are believers, to suffer for Him and to suffer with Him. He says, so that, here's the purpose part, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it's revealed to all the world. You see, the beautiful thing about suffering is it gives us an opportunity to impact in our world. We don't impact people necessarily when life is going good and life is going easy. But I tell you, that lady in Korea that I would have never known about except for that video impacted me. She will probably die in that prison, but she will die in that prison doing what? Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, she could have been just like everybody else and hate her life and not talk to anybody and hope she died quickly, but she didn't do that. She made a choice. She chose the joy of living for Him in a very, very dark place. And we need to understand that Peter is warning believers, hey, you better wake up because difficult times are out there. You better wake up because you're going to suffer if you live for Me. And we need to be mentally prepared. You don't need to be caught off guard. If somebody comes in and slaps you on the face and says, I can't stand you and your Christians at First Baptist Mount Ida, that shouldn't surprise you. You should realize I've had it coming for a long time. He says, don't be surprised. Now, he calls them fiery trials. And some would say he's referring to Nero. Remember, during this time, Nero was the emperor in Rome. And he didn't like the poor part of town. So as an emperor does, he burned it down. And then he blamed the Christians, and they started barbecuing the Christians in the garden, using them for lights. But that came a little bit, I think, after this letter. It is something, Peter is talking about here, it began with name-calling. It began with insults. It began with being ugly to Christians. And then it just got worse and worse. And so he said, listen, you believers, you need to choose right now that you're not going to be surprised when people are mean to you, and you're going to choose right now to have joy and to live your life in a way that gives glory to God. Now, I want you to see 1 Peter chapter 1 because he shows us that, and he talked about that at the very beginning of the book. In chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7, he talks about the trials, the fiery trials, and how to deal with them. He says, once again, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though, get this, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show, listen, these trials that you go through will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through the many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So here's the deal. When people begin to persecute you, if you're a high school kid, junior high school, school kid, when people begin to make fun of you because of your faith, understand, that's not the time to turn your back on Jesus. That's the time to trust Him and go forward, because as you do that, guess what? It shows what you believe in. It shows what's important to you. Hard times reveal what is important to you. And when you go through those hard times, you have a choice. You have a choice to choose joy or to choose Jesus. I mean, that is joy. Or to choose to gripe and complain. I found this quote by Tim Keller this last week, and I loved it. He says, you don't really know Jesus until... it says, you don't really know Jesus. You're going to have to miss that quote because I misspelled it. I can't figure out what I had here. I had it on Facebook, right? So you can look on there. It was a great thing. But if you don't lose everything, sometimes you don't know who He is and the joy that He has. So basically what I'm telling you this morning is that there is no greater privilege than suffering for your faith. What I'm telling you this morning, that if you're living for Him, you're going to probably experience, and I think in America it's going to get worse. I'm just being honest. I think in America it's going to get worse in the days ahead for believers. And people are going to get upset with you because you call sin, sin. People are going to get upset with you because you live differently than they do. You have a different standard. And I think you're going to have to, in the future, make a choice whether you're going to choose joy and follow Jesus or fall in with the crowd and do what they say. I would say choose joy. Second thing, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. He says in verse 14, if you are insulted, have you ever been insulted for your faith? Has someone ever made fun of you or said something to you derogatory for your faith? He says, if you're insulted because you bear the name of Jesus Christ, you will be blessed. Now, I guess the question is, I sometimes ask myself, well, maybe I'm not being persecuted because they don't even know that I am a believer or that I am different. And maybe I'm not being insulted because my standards aren't high enough for myself. But the beautiful picture here is, if you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. Insulted. Have you ever been called narrow-minded? A goody-two-shoes? Straight-laced? Has someone said, hey, Ashburn over there, he's just going to ruin all our fun. I remember in college when I got my act together, people didn't want me coming to their parties. I know as a pastor, sometimes people don't want me in their house. Because you think I'm taking notes of, let me just put y'all at ease. If I come in your house, I'm not judging you by what's in your house. I'm not looking for that liquor you got hidden somewhere, okay? I'm just letting you know. Now, if you're getting drunk in front of me, I probably will say something about that, you know? But when people are, when you live for Christ, people aren't as excited as you are. Because you've been in a dark place. He says, listen, don't be ashamed for following Christ. Don't be ashamed because people are looking at you and seeing that you're different. If they don't see that you're different, something's wrong there too. If you want God's favor, if you want God's blessing, then you need to bear the name of Jesus. You need to represent Him. And then in verse 15, he says, but hey, be sure you don't suffer for the wrong things. He says, be sure you don't suffer for murder. Be sure that you don't suffer for stealing, making trouble, or prying into people. In other words, he says, if you're going to suffer, make it only for the name of Jesus Christ, nothing else. And so the good news is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there's no shame and suffering for having morals and privileges. And I like what he says. Look what he says. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. If people made fun of your faith, would you praise God or just get quiet? Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. Praise God for being different. Oh, how our world needs the church to be different, but not to be mean. Look at the third thing he says. Sufferings purifies. He says, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin in God's household. And here's the thing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're accountable. Now, a lot of people think, well, I'm saved, so I didn't say you're going to lose your salvation. I'm just saying, if you're His, if He's your boss, then you're accountable to the boss, right? And And one of the things we need to understand is that He allows us to go through difficult times. He allows us to go through hard times. He allows us to suffer in order that we can be purified. I think we tend to forget that. We see hard times as hard times, and they don't make us better, but they should purify us. Let me give you an example. If you're a believer, you need to be aware that God sometimes has to spank you. Look at Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and following. He's talking about a spanking. If you're a believer, there are times that God has to spank you, discipline you, time out. I don't care what you call it. I mean, Liam, I love him to death. He's a year and he's two and a half. He'll be hopefully coming to our house this next week some. And I'm not going to let him play in the street. He's going to get disciplined. Why? Because that's stupid. And why are we so blind as Christians to think that God, because He loves us, will sometimes persecute us, or not persecute us, He will punish us in order to make us better? Look what He says in verse 7. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His what? Holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Here's the good news. You're going to have trials as a believer. And as a believer, you have a choice to either learn from your trials or to get bitter because of them. I believe God has allowed things in my life to happen for my betterment. And they weren't always enjoyable. Just like I believe Bill Ashburn III spanked my hiney when I got in the street. It wasn't because he didn't love me. It's because he did love me. But why as Christians do we not understand that sometimes what we're going through is to make us better and to learn from it? You see, our sufferings should purify us. They should make us better. This morning, every Sunday morning, I don't know if you know it or not, but there's a black pastor friend of mine in Lancaster. That's next Oak Cliff. We pray for each other in our churches. And I was talking to him this morning about hard times and all that. And he said, you know, he had a niece that had been killed in Texarkana, Arkansas this weekend. And we were talking about it. And he said, you know, Bill, God disciplined me through a similar situation that got me back in the church. He said, I was a believer and I had gotten away from Him, and somebody in his family had been murdered, and he came back to church. He's now a pastor. But he was talking to me. He said, you know, difficult times can make you better if you learn from them. So we need to understand that the sufferings we go through, the hard times that we go through, are for our betterment. And if you're going through a hard time right now, I don't know what your hard time is. I just know what mine are. What you have to do sometimes is ask the question, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to change? What do I need to learn? Because sufferings purifies. The fourth thing, and this is the good and the bad, rejecting the good news is bad news. Look at verse 17. He says in verse 17, it's good and bad. He says, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. Then he says this, and if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news. Never obeyed God's good news. And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? You know, one of the things that kind of got me when I read that, he says a terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed the good news. When we talk about the good news, a lot of times it's just believe, just believe, just believe. But nothing changes. Believing in the gospel, the good news, means that you believe a man named Jesus died for you and was resurrected from the dead to give you forgiveness, to give you new life, to change you. It's not a get out of hell free card and live like the devil. It's just never. It's good news because we're delivered from our sin. It's good news because we are allowed to live a new life. It's good news because we have eternal life even when we die. It's good news because the suffering draws us closer to Him. But that good news is bad news for those who reject it. I know one of the comments about Christianity that I hear today is, y'all are just narrow-minded. You just only let those who believe in. I will admit that's kind of narrow-minded, but here's the good news. Anybody can get in. Anybody that is willing to obey the good news of Jesus Christ gets in. It's not a club. It's open to any color, any race, any status of life. It's open to all. We say, who's that worst person that you can think of right now? It's open to them too. But it's only open to them if they obey the good news, which is to trade lives, to let Him take over, to give Him your life. And nobody can do that for you. This morning, you as an adult or a child or a teenager, this morning you've either rejected the good news or accepted the good news. If you've never put your faith in Him and said, here am I, use me, you're rejecting. You may be a good person, you may go to church on Sunday, but I love that phrase. And it's a terrible thing, but a terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed the good news. And he talks about, if the righteous are barely saved, what happens to the godless sinner? Listen, when I look back at my life and I think about all my imperfections, it's the grace of God. I get in by the grace of God. And I'm doing a lot better now than I did a long time ago, but it's the grace of God that's going to get me in, not Bill Ashburn. And that lost person will not get in because they can do everything good and they won't be able to cover up all the bad, and it's bad. So this morning, you've either obeyed the good news and you're a believer, or you haven't. And it's bad news if you've rejected the good news. And I can't tell you which one you've done, but here's the thing I know. You better come to terms with the good news before you die. Because once you die, it's done. I don't know why that was weighing on me heavily, but this, in the last week or two, I just woke up in the middle of the night. And I think it's because I read in my quiet time about the story about Lazarus. And once you got over here, I think that was in our reading, men. I'm not positive I read that. And I woke up in the middle of the night because it bothered me that once you're dead, it's too late. And that's the truth. Once you're dead, it's too late. You can't accept the good news. The good news is only for those who are alive. So my question is real simple. Have you ever done that? It's either yes or no, and you only know. And I hope you have. I hope you think that the good news is a good thing, but to reject it is a bad thing. Then here's the final thing. Trust God when suffering. I love verse 19. First of all, verse 19 says, so if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, do you mean it's God's will to suffer? Yes. There are times when it's God's will for you to suffer. What are you talking about? That poor lady in Korea. She's in Korea. She's in her prison. Does God want to do a tremendous thing in that prison? Yeah, they started a Bible study. They're sharing the good news. But is it a good thing? No, it's a bad thing. But the good news is it's part of God's plan. You say, well, that's not fair. There's a lot of things that aren't fair that I don't understand. But here's what I do know. We as believers need to understand that suffering doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Sometimes it means you're right where you're supposed to be. And you say, well, that's not good. I don't want to be. I don't want any of that. Well, I guarantee if you take a stand on what you say and what you do, you'll have a little suffering. And I guarantee it's part of God's will. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, let me just ask you this. Is your suffering pleasing to God? Are you suffering for the right things? And then look what he says right after that. Keep on doing what is right. Keep on suffering, basically. Keep on doing what is right. A lot of Christians, if that Jesus thing gets too hard, I'm done. I ain't changing. I didn't sign up for suffering. I signed up for heaven. Well, you can't get to heaven unless you suffer some. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. And then here's the key. And trust your lives to the God who created you. What happens when you start to suffer? You better trust the God who created you. And it says this, for He will never fail you. That doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. And see, as Christians, we think failure is dying. But really and truly, for the believer in Jesus Christ, suffering that leads to death is victory. That woman in Korea may be better off than you are this morning because she's that much closer to being in the presence of God. So we measure everything by being alive. Instead of understanding that if we really believed what we believed about Jesus and the afterlife and worshiping Him and being in heaven, all that, we would be willing to suffer more. But the problem is, a lot of times that's not what we're thinking about. Suffering. When you suffer, trust God. He will never fail you. Don't look at that woman in Korea and say, that's a failure. No, it's not. It's a part of His plan that we don't understand, but it has a purpose. It's to share the good news in a dark place. Suffering. Nobody wants to do it. But if we're truly saved, we're all going to do it. So where are you this morning? Have you ever trusted Him? Have you trusted that good news? I didn't say just say a prayer. Have you obeyed it? Have you chosen to live for Him? Have you ever followed Him in believers' baptism? You know that us Baptists, if you go back in history, church history, the death penalty was for those who've been baptized. Go read some of church history. It's not very encouraging to us Baptists. Would you die for your faith? Maybe you need to be baptized. You've never done that. You've gone to church. You've said the prayer, but you know, man, when you're baptized, what you're saying to the world is, it's Him. I'm different. Maybe you need to join the church. When I say join the church, I don't mean come on Sundays. It means come and do something. We're fixing to start up Wednesday nights. We need adults as well as teenagers and kids to be the church. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. It might mean working in the kitchen. It might be working with children. It might be working with youth. It might be being in an adult class. You say, well, that's hard. Those kids aren't very nice. I'm not cut out for suffering teaching kids. What's wrong with you? If just one kid accepts that good news because of your sacrifice on Wednesday night, that to me is a win. Be sure that you read the handbook for suffering. It's God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for everyone that is here. I thank You that we live in a world that is free. 9 states, not perfect, got a lot of problems, but still free. We don't have to suffer like North Korea or Iran or Iraq or many of the places. But Father, quite honestly, we're wimps. We're afraid to suffer. We don't want to suffer for doing what is right. Forgive us for that. Help us to be strong, not weak. Maybe there's someone here this morning. Maybe there's an adult or a kid or a teenager that has never said yes to the good news, to obey it. Maybe there's an adult or a kid or a teenager that's never followed in believers' baptizing. That's embarrassing, they might say. Maybe there's someone who's never joined, connected to the church and said, hey, here I am, use me. Father, the invitation this morning is for us to respond to You and whatever You tell us to do. Help us to do that. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. If you need to make